Today's daf is Menachas daf Samech Aleph. We left off on daf Samech Amid Beis, about six lines from the end of the page. Rabbi Shimon Omer. So we are going to, first of all, today's shir is sponsored anonymously L'Zuchusra for Shalema, for an infant, for Nava Gavriela, Bas Naomi Tova, Shishtava Rafur Shalema, and we thank the sponsor very much for the sponsorship. The Zuchus for our learning should be all of the Rafur Shalema. So we're holding again about six lines from the end of the page. We had a Mishnah yesterday that told us that there are two different requirements by a Korban that sometimes go hand in hand. There's the requirement of Tanufa and the requirement of Hagasha. There are some Korbanos that require both, some that require neither, some that require only Tanufa, not Hagasha, some only Hagasha and not Tanufa. So even though we had mentioned in the Mishnah that there are these four categories, the Mishnah we learned yesterday only discussed one of the categories, and that is those that require Hagasha and do not require Tanufa. So we're going to finish up the discussion about Hagasha. Today we're specifically going to identify three Karbanos that are excluded from Hagasha and why they're excluded from Hagasha, what's unique about them that we assume that they should be excluded from Hagasha, and then we're going to get to the next mission on Samech Aleph Amid Aleph today, where it goes through the other three categories, those that require only Tanufa, those that require both, those that require neither. And then the end of the Mishnah is going to tell us also that there are three activities that two out of the three of them are done by a series of three karbanos. You have Shalmei Yachid, Shalmei Tzibur, and the Asher Mitzora. And by each of those karbanos, you have two out of the following three things that are done: Smicha, Tanufas Chai, and Tanufa Meis, meaning Tanufa when it's alive or Tanufa when it's dead. So two out of those three things are done by each of those three karbanos. But which two out of the three changes for each of those karbanos? And the majority of the daf is going to discuss the halachos of Tanufa, that by Mitzora, exactly what we do Tanufa on, and when we do Tanufa, and how many times we do Tanufa, how Bikurim requires Tanufa of the Bailim and Tanufa of the Kohen, and how do we do both the Bailim and the Kohen simultaneously. We're going to discuss whether a Karban of Nashim, a Karban of Nachrim, requires Tanufa. And if it does require Tanufa, who does the Tanufa? Is it done by the Bala Karban, or is it done by somebody else? So, and that discussion of Tanufa is going to go into tomorrow's daf as well. So let's begin. We're holding again toward the bottom of daf Samech and Beis, about six lines from the end of the page, Rabbi Shimon Omer. So we're going to Darshan. We're still in the Sugya of Hagasha, and we're going to show that there are certain karbanos that are excluded from Hagasha. Rabbi Shimon Omer, es ha-mincha l'rabu shar menachos, kigon minchas nachrim, minchas nashim la-hagasha. That es comes to include, es ha-mincha comes to tell me that a mincha of a nachri, or a mincha of an isha, also requires Hagasha. Yochel shanimar ba'av shtei alechem lechem apanim. I might have thought, okay, so shtei alechem lechem apanim should also require Hagasha. Tam lomar me'ele. That's a miyut that tells me not everything requires Hagasha, so the shtei alechem lechem apanim are out. They don't require Hagasha. Umari isa l'rabil sharmenoch zlotzi lechem shtei alechem lechem apanim. Why would we include every other mincha in Hagasha, but shtei alechem lechem apanim dafka are the ones that are excluded? What's unique about shtei alechem lechem apanim that they should not require Hagasha to the Karen Maravis Dromis Shalom Izbeach? So Marba Nishar Menachos Sheish Men Leishim Umotzi Nishtei Lechem Lechem Apanim Shein Men Leishim. What makes them unique is that Shtei Lechem Lechem Apanim do not get burnt on the fire at all. They're entirely eaten by Kohanim. Hagasha is only for those Karbanos that are going to be burnt on the fire, that are at least going to be Mimena Leishim. So says Gemara V'Alom Minchas Nesachim Kula Leishim. What about a Karban that's not only Mimena Leishim, I'll do you one better. A Minchas Nesachim is entirely burnt on the fire. So Yachli Yetuna Agasha. So I would think for sure that you require Agasha. There's another Miyut. Talmud Omer V'Hikriva. V'Hikriva tells me not Minchas Nesachim. Frankly, more of a pikte, but we already used V'Hikriva to tell me that there's Hagasha by Minchas Sota, because remember we said that we have such a similar lashon of Hikriv by Sota as well, and therefore we used that choice of terminology to tell me that a Minchas Sota requires Hagasha. Says Gemara, yes, that's from the word V'Hikriv, but what about the extra hay? V'Hikriv, V'Hikriva, that the extra hay tells me the halacha that we're trying to learn right here, that a Minchas Nesachim does not require Agasha. Okay, but why? What makes a Minchas Nesachim unique that it should not require Agasha? It can't be because it's not burnt on the fire, because Adrab, it's entirely burnt on the fire. Umari said, Rabbi Shar Menachos, Lotzi Minchas Nesachim, why would I include every other Mincha for Agasha, or almost every other Mincha for Agasha, but not Minchas Nesachim? So the Gemara explains, Marba Ani, Shar Menachos, we include other Menachos for Agasha, like Minchas Nashim, Minchas Chote, Shabos Beglalatzman, because they're independent Karbonos Mincha. They're not connected to any Zevach. Umotzi Ani Minchas Nesachim, Shein Abba Beglalatzma. Minchas Nesachim is entirely unique in that it's not an independent Karbon. It's brought together with a Zevach, and therefore it doesn't require Agasha. Says Gemara Velo Minchas Kohanim, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, Baus Beglalatzman. So by that criteria, that something that's an independent Karbon is going to require Agasha, so Minchas Kohanim, Minchas Kohen Gadol are independent Karbonos as well. Yachul Yutunas Agasha, they should therefore require Agasha. Tamalomer Vihigisha. Vihigisha implies it, but not something else. So we're coming to be Memait, Minchas Kohanim, Minchas Kohen Meshuach from Agasha. What do you mean? How can you dashen anything from the word v'igisha? The word v'igisha tells me that you have to do agasha. It tells me the very basic din of agasha. Where's the miyut in the word v'igisha? Says Gemara, sure, min v'higish v'higisha. From v'higish, you see that there's such a requirement of hagasha. Why the extra hay? The extra hay is a miyut, that you do hagasha on it, but not on something else. What's the something else that you don't do hagasha on? The Minchas Kohanim and the Minchas Kohen Mashiach. Says Gemara, but why? Why are Minchas Kohen and Minchas Kohen Mashiach excluded? I mean, yes, I see that there's a miyut in the pasuk, but you still have to choose what that miyut is coming to exclude. Why would we choose Minchas Kohen and Minchas Kohen Mashiach to exclude? Umari said the Rabbi Sharmanach, so it's Minchas Kohen or Minchas Kohen Mashiach. Why would almost every other Karban Mincha, not all of them, not the Shealechem, not the Lechem Aparim, not Minchas Nesachem, but almost every other Karban Mincha be included in Agasha and not Minchas Kohen and Minchas Kohen Mashiach? So Marba Nishar Menachos, Sheyesh Mehen Leishim Uba Usbeglal Atzman, V'yesh men l'kohanim. So we already had the first two qualifications from the previous limudim. It's got to be something that's yesh men l'ishim, that part of it gets burnt, and that's why we excluded shtei alechem and lechem apanim, because no part of those get burnt, they get entirely eaten by the kohanim. It has to be something that's bos b'glal atzman, and that's why minchas nesachim is excluded, because minchas nesachim is not bos b'glal atzman, it's brought together with the zevach. And now a third qualification, v'yesh men l'kohanim. It has to be a korban that the shirayim of the mincha go to kohanim. So shtei alechem lechem apanim are excluded because there's no part of it that gets burnt. Minchas nesachim shein ba'al b'gal atzma. Minchas nesachim is excluded because it's never brought independently. Minchas kohanim, minchas kohen mashiach shein men lekohanim, and minchas kohanim, minchas kohen mashiach are excluded because no part of it goes to kohanim. So the Gemara brings a brisa that discusses how we do the kamitza of menachos veheirim. So the pasuk says veheirim akoyin min minchas. But a lashon of a harem, that we raise it up. So yachal b'kli, you might think that you could do it b'kli. Take a measuring cup that's the size of a kamitza. Remember, we had that whole discussion that a kohen's hand has to hold two kazesim, and maybe a kohen with smaller hands than to hold two kazesim in the kamitza is pasul avoda. Whole discussion in the achronim. Why don't we solve the whole issue? Make a measuring cup the size of the ideal kamitza. Whatever kamitza you have to worry about big kohanim and little kohanim and who's going to do. You don't have to worry about anything. A measuring cup. So Yachal Bakli, Tamalomar, Veherim Imenu Bekumtso. Maharama Amar Lalan Bekumtso, Afarama Amar Kan Bekumtso. That's why the Pasuk says, Veherim Imenu Bekumtso, and we learn that whenever we use the word Veherim, it means not with a Kli, it means Dafka with a Komet. Rashi writes that there's a limud of a Gzeru Shava that Harama cannot be with a Kli. The fact that Rashi has to tell you that there's a limud of a Gzeru Shava, that Harama cannot be Bekli, implies that he must have had a different Girsa in the Gemara, because the Gemara kind of says it explicitly, so that's how we know that has to dafka be biyad. But the majority, meaning this last little sugya that we just had before the Mishnah, essentially told us, finished off the discussion of Agasha by telling us three categories of karbanos that do not require Agasha. That which is ein mehen li'ishim, like the lechem apanim and the shtei alechem. That which is ba'beglal zevach, like the minchas nesachim, it's not ba'beglal atzmo. And that which which no part of it goes to the Kohanim, like the Minchas Kohen Gadol and the Minchas Kohanim. Okay, now we go on to the other three categories that we never discussed in yesterday's Mishnah. So says the Mishnah on Samech Aleph Amin Aleph. Elu tu'unos tenufa ve'ein tu'unos hagasha. The following things require tenufa, but not hagasha. You need to wave them, but there's no hagasha, there's no bringing it to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. Log shemen shel mitzora va'ashamo, the log shemen that we use for a mitzora that comes together with his asham in order to put on the bahonos of the mitzora as part of the process of what we do with taras ha-mitzora, and the asham of the mitzora, va'bikurim kedivrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, bikurim requires tenufa as well. Not everyone agrees with the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We're going to see the limud. There is a din of by bikurim to put them on the keren dromus ma'aravis. The Yerushalmi says in the Rambam Paskins. So it's interesting that we don't include bikurim amongst those how the Mishnah includes bikurim amongst those that do not require hagasha. It does seem that there is some sort of requirement of hagasha, but once we lock it in that it's going like Shitas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's not going to be such a problem, because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov himself holds that there is no requirement of placing the Bikurim down in that specific location. So Bikurim, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, fits nicely into things that require tenufa but not hagasha. The emurei shel meyachid, the emurim of an individual's carbon shlamim, the chaz v'shok shelahen, and also the chaz and shok of shel meyachid of an individual's carbon shlamim, and then echad anashim ve'echad nashim b'Yisrael v'lo ba'achirim. Different ways Rishonim read this line. Simple reading: both karbanos of men and karbanos of women require tenufa, but how the tenufa is actually done, it has to dafka be by Yisrael. And that excludes, therefore, both Ovid Chavim and Nashim. That a non-Jew and an Isha cannot actually do the Tenufa, but a Karban of Nashim and a Karban of Nachrim does require Tenufa. That's one way Rishonim read it, that Nashim and Nachrim, for the purposes of Tenufa, are in the same boat. Both of them, when they bring a Karban, it requires Tenufa, but in both cases, they can't do the Tenufa. The Kohen has to do the Tenufa on their behalf. That's Shitas Rashi. We're going to see Tosos quotes another Shita, that there's only Tenufa by a carbon of an Isha through the Kohen, but the carbon of a Nachri doesn't require Tenufa at all, which would make three levels, that a carbon of a man requires Tenufa and the guy does it, the Bailum does it. The carbon of an Isha requires Tenufa, but she doesn't do it, the Kohen does it. Carbon of a guy doesn't even require Tenufa, Kol Iker. That would be how Tosos would read this line of the Mishnah. Okay, Shtei Alech, Mishnei Kivsei Atzeres. The Mishnah continues. Ketzaruosa. When it comes to the Shtei Alechem, Mishnei Kivsei Atzeres, how do you do the tenufa of these karbanos? So Nosin Shtei Alechem al gabe Shnei Kivasim. You put the Shtei Alechem on the sheep. Umeniach Yadav Lamata, and you put your hands underneath it. Moluchu Mevi Malu Umorid. And the way to do the waving is you put it forward and backwards, or you know, bring it forward and back, and then up and down. Shenemar Asher Hunaf VaAsher Hura. And the pasuk before that said ve'nafto sam tenufa. So there are four different lashonos of tenufa: hunaf, huram, ve'nafta, and tenufa. So from the four lashonos, we see that it requires four tenufos. That's how the Achronim explain what Rashi's trying to say over here. That there are four tenufos based on the four lashonos. Tenufa yisa b'mizrach v'agasha b'marav. Tenufa was done in the mizrach of the Azara, not in the western side of the Azara, which would have been more l'fnei Hashem. But agasha is on the western side of the Azara, which is more l'fnei Hashem. Minchas Omer and Minchas Sota were there. They have both tenufa and agasha. You should know that tenufos kodmos agashos. That when you're deciding what to do first, for those unique karbanos that require both, the tenufa comes before the hagasha. It's a suffix whether it would be ma'akiv. The Achronim raises a suffix, and what if you do it in the other order? Would it be ma'akiv or not? Minchas Omer, Minchas Knaos, Tu'unos, hagasha utenufa. Very, very strange, the order of the mission over here. We haven't even yet, before we even get to the category of those things that require both, we already told you, when you find those things that require both, here's the order that you do it in. It's not normal. First, actually should have said, here's what requires both tenufa and hagasha, and then said, and this is the order that you do it in. Not clear why the Mishnah does it this way, but the Mishnah says, what are the karbonos that require both tenufa and hagasha? Minchas homer, minchas tenos, require both tenufa and hagasha. Lechem apanam minchas nesachem ein tenus lo hagasha, velo tenufa. Lechem apanam minchas nesachem require neither. Rabbi Shimon omer, so that finishes up the discussion from yesterday's Mishnah, where we said there are four categories of karbanos. We've now been through all four categories of karbanos. Then the Mishnah just adds, Rabbi Shimon Omer, shlosh minim tu'unin shlosh mitzvos shtayim b'kalachas v'achas. There are three particular activities that are done with three different karbanos, but not all three are done with any of the three karbanos. Two out of the three are done with each of these three karbanos, but it's a different two out of the three. Ushlish is amen. The third one you don't do with them. Ve'eluhein, and these are the karbanos. Zivchei shal neyachid, zivchei shal mitzibur, and asha mitzara. Zivchei shal neyachid tu'unin smichas chayim u'tenufa shchutin. Zivchei shal neyachid requires smicha and tenufa when it's dead. But vein ven tenufa chayim, but there's no tenufa while it's alive. Zivchei shal mitzibur tenufa chayim u'shchutin requires tenufa both when it's alive and when it's dead, but vein ven smicha. They don't require smicha because they're a carbon tzibur and there's no smicha on carbon tzibur. And asha mitzara to'un smicha u'tenufa chay, it requires smicha and requires tenufa when it's alive, vein bot tenufa shachet, but it doesn't require any tenufa when it's dead. So that's Rabbi Shimon Sahara, that it comes out that with these three different karbanos, two out of these three activities of tenufa schai, tenufa shachet, and smicha are done, but it's a different two out of the three, it's a different one that's left off on each of these three karbanos. So it's interesting though that when we talk about tenufa, the Mishnah said that you're moluch umevi and ma'le u'morid when it comes to tenufa. So that is somewhat interesting because we're going to see in the Gemara tomorrow moluch umevi limisha arba rucho shelo ma'le u'morid limisha shemayim va'aret shelo, that there's symbolism in this. Moluch umevi to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of all the directions of the world. Ma'le u'morid, that shemayim va'aret all belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and b'marava amri we're going to say that moluch umevi to be otzer the ruchos ra'os, malu morid kidei latzer talalim ra'im, to stop terrible natural disasters. So we do mitzvos in the directions of all the areas of nature in order to prevent Kodesh Baruch Hu from bringing natural disasters. And then the Gemara is going to comment in tomorrow's daf v'amarava that the same is true by lulav, that we're also moluch umevi malu morid. And that is an interesting comment, because do we do the same thing? It sounds over here that the tenufa of the karban of the mincha is moluch umevi malu morid, four directions, front, back, up, down, but not right, left. So there's a discussion in Rishonim, is that what we're supposed to do by lulav as well? The Rush writes in the third paragraph of Masechta Sukkah, in the name of the Bali Iter, minhag avoseinu moluch umevi malu morid, that's it. And by being moluch umevi, you're showing that mishadal ruchos shlo, because whoever's in charge of the first two ruchos is also in charge of all four ruchos. So it's enough to show that dalid ruchos shalom. So the Bali Itzer says, and someone who does the other way, who goes in four direct, moluch umevi mal morid, and right left, it's derech chitzonis. And he says that's a derech chitzonis. Why is that a derech chitzonis? So what he's referring to is he thinks that symbolizes a cross. Because once the Christians do this whole thing when they cross themselves, you know, so we stay away from anything that has four corners. So you're not going to go front, back, right, and left. The Rush writes, that's not the minhag olam. We do in all dalid ruchos and up and down, and it's a minhag kasherhu. And why should we stop our hodah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at just X number of directions and not go in every which direction to give hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Rush says, adrabah, it's if you want to say that something looks like a cross, I would say the other way, that if you're only going in four directions, up, down, right, you know, up, down, front, back, that looks more like a cross. And if you go in all the directions, looks less like a cross. The in the Tshuvas Maral Bach, in Simonayin Tes, he says the minhag was established in Svarad to do all six, like the Rush says, all six directions. But Rov HaPoskim Rishonim Achronim is Einakein. They don't think, they disagree. And they say only to be Moluch Mevi, Malu Morid, and that seems to be the Pshat in the Gemara, because our Gemara says, our Gemara associates what happens with the Karb Milcha with what happens with the Lulav. So it makes sense that it should only be in the four directions. The in Masecha Sukkah, when it comes to Nanumim of the Lulav, the Gemara quotes a Machlokas, what the logic is, why it is that we do the Tanufa. So in the Sefer Kapos Tamarim, he says, maybe that chaps an afkamina on this issue. According to the reason that you mulch, maybe the Mi Shadal Rucha Shalom, so maybe the Balitzer is right. Whoever is in charge of the first two is in charge of all four. But if it's to be Otzer Ruchos Ra'os, if the point is to stop natural disasters, and so then you want to stop natural disasters on all sides, meaning if you're actually affecting something in stopping the natural disasters by having a mitzvah shown in each direction, so then maybe it should have to be in every which direction. Okay, maybe that is a nafkamina, maybe it's not. You could certainly argue whether that's nafkamina between the two reasons. But you do see a big discussion in Poskim, to what extent do we have to be hypersensitive about doing anything that looks like a shesivariv, that looks like something that might be a cross. In the Chuvus Aparkasta Da'anya, Chel Gimel Yardes and Kufnun Beis, he discusses windows. So normally between the panes of the window, they have they're whatever they call it, but you have things. Yeah, so it looks like it could sometimes look like a cross. So he quotes a Chuvus Bar Livayi Yardes and Mukhav Beis, who goes berserk on someone who wants to be choshish about this. He says, what do you think? You have to look, everything you in your mind you see is a cross. That's a bigger violation than anything else. Wherever you look is a cross. So you're the one that's bringing Avodah Zarah into your mind, that you shouldn't get crazy about this, and you shouldn't look for a cross everywhere. In Orchos Rabbeinu, in Chelek Aleph, page Reshid Beis, and Chelek Gimel, page Pezayin, says the stipler was hypersensitive about this. That the stipler noticed that the electric wires were running once and they were low. They weren't at the very top of the electric poles, and he wrote a letter to the electric company. I don't care how much it costs, you got to fix that. He wouldn't walk under them. He really thought that looked like a cross. So you see different sensitivities by different posts. When I was a kid in school, they taught me when you write the lowercase t, right, to curve it at the bottom. So that's totally in this machlokas. You just write a letter t and say, I'm not going to see a cross everywhere. I'm just writing a letter t. It's obvious. Or do you say that no, that anything that even has any smell or any sense of looking like a cross, we have to be hypersensitive to. So that seems to be a machlokas amongst the Gedolei HaPoskim. Okay, so says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, V'ikrav osod la'ashem esloga shemen v'heinif osam tenufa, melamit shetunu tenufa ke'echad, that the asham and the log shemen that the mitzora brings require tenufa simultaneously. U'minayin shem heinif zeba atzma yatza. How do I know that if you do tenufa of each of them independently, you're still yotzei? Tam lomar v'yikriv oso la'asham v'hinif. It says v'hinif in the lashon yachid, so it sounds like that right next to the log shemen. So it sounds like even if the log shemen is done alone, it would be good enough. So yachal yanif yachzer v'yanif. So you might think that since you're supposed to do them both together, but it also has the lashon yachid, then maybe you should do both. You should do an independent tenufa on the log shemen, and then do it together with the asham. So do two tenufos. Tamalomar tenufa velo tenufos. That's why the pasuk says tenufa and not tenufos. So that's what we're darshaning from the pasuk, that really lechachila should be done together. But if you do it separately, it would still be good enough. Now the Gemara discusses that we said that tenufa is supposed to be done in the mizrach lefnei Hashem b'mizrach, in the eastern side of the azara, because by tenufa it says lefnei Hashem, and nevertheless it's done b'mizrach. But didn't we say when it comes to the Hagasha of the Menachos that lefnei Hashem you might think it has to be on the western side of the Mizbeach, that you have to be magishit because lefnei Hashem is bimarav? So how can you say over here that tenufa is done bimizrach if it's supposed to be lefnei Hashem? Amri Hani Mili, that when we say Lifnei Hashem means on the western side, that's Mincha De'ikri Chatas V'Chatas Tuna Yisod. That's by something that's called the Chatas, and Chatas requires that the Shiraim of the Dam are poured into the Yisod of the Mizbeach, V'Keren Dromas Mizrachis Lo Hayo Lo Yisod. That had to be in the Marav, because Lifnei Hashem means on the southern side of the Mizbeach, right? That's for sure. But the question is, the southwest or southeast? So when you're dealing with a chatos, or that which is called chatos, you need to be near the part of the Mizbeach that actually has a yisod. So that's why you end up at the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach. Aval hachabon, when it comes to the tznufa, there's no requirement of yisod. So l'fnei Hashem, parina bay. So the l'fnei Hashem could be even in the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach, because you don't need a yisod to be there. So the Mizrach is also considered l'fnei Hashem, and the tznufa could therefore be v'mizrach. There is a discussion in the Rishonim that when we say that the tznufa should dafka be, or that the tznufa haisa b'mizrach, what does it mean haisa b'mizrach? Rashi says it doesn't mean dafka b'mizrach, it means afilu b'mizrach. But kol shekein b'marav, there will be no problem with bringing it more toward the west, because that's even closer to the Heichal. That would be even better. But the Rambam in the ninth parak of Ma'aser Kavanos writes u'meinav hakol lefnei Hashem b'mizrach, which makes it sound like it has to be dafka b'mizrach against Rashi. So the Kesem Mishnah, Mari Korkus over there say, I don't know where the Rambam got it from. Why should the lifnei Hashem mean dafka the mizrach? Adrabba, the Barav is more lifnei Hashem. The Chiddush over here is that even the mizrach, like Rashi says, in the name of the Briska Rav, they quote that based on the Ravid, that the reason that you do dafka the mizrach according to the Rambam is tafasta merubah lo tafasta, that you have to be limited. You're not allowed to just go as far as close to the Kedusha as possible. You go as close to the Kedusha as you have to, and anywhere beyond that you're not allowed to go. So once it's possible to do it in the Mizrach, so it's usrli kanes more than the Mizrach. It's usr to go to further west to get closer to the Heichal. The Cheshek Shlomo suggests that maybe Rashi and the Rambam are talking about two different things. That Rashi is talking about the tenufos that are done by the Kohanim alone, but menachos that the Bailim do, so obviously has to be done in the Mizrach, because the Zar is not allowed to go beinu ulam v'lam mizbeach. Maybe that's the difference between the Rambam and Rashi. That yeah, sometimes it's got to be dafka in the Mizrach, because the Bailim can't go that far. Sometimes it could be even in the Mizrach, but also the Ma'ariv. That's when the Kohanim are doing it, and the Kohanim are able to go that far. Okay, says the Gemara further. Rabbi Kurim k'divir v'loz ben Yaakov. We had mentioned in the Mishnah that you know what else requires tenufa, not hagasha? Bikurim, but only according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So my Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, where do we find such a sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov when it comes to Bikurim? Titania, we have a brisa. The Laka HaKohen, the Pasuk says by Bikurim that the Kohen takes the basket from your hand and he puts it Lefnei Mizbach HaShem Elokecha. So Limer Ala Bikurim Shetun and Tnufa de Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov learns from there that Bikurim required Tnufa. My time with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, how does he see from that Pasuk that Bikurim required Tnufa? Gomer Yad Yad Mishlamim is a Gzer Shava of the word Yad. Ksiv hacha by Bikurim, it says v'lokach ha-kohen atene miyadecha, uksiv hasam, and by the Karman Shlomim it says yadav tivienna. So makan kohen af la'ala and a kohen, that just like by the Bikurim the tznufa is done by a kohen, so too by the Shlomim the tznufa is done by a kohen, and ma la'ala and bailim, and just like by the Karman Shlomim the tznufa is done by the bailim, afkan bailim, so too by Bikurim the tznufa is done by the bailim. So which is it, the kohen or the bailim? Ha-ketzad, so how do we actually do it? Kohen maniach yado tachas yidei bailim umeinif. The Kohen puts his hands underneath the hands of the bailim, and together they do the tenufa. So the kasha that all the Rishonim ask is, how could that possibly be correct? If there's a requirement that the Kohen does the tenufa, shouldn't the hands of the bailim be a chatzitza between the Kohen's hands and the kli of that's holding the carbon that you're doing the tenufa with? So why is that not a problem of chatzitza? So there are three basic approaches offered by Rishonim. Rashi writes that the tenufa of the Kohen, we don't care if there's a chatzitza, because really the ikur chiyuv is a chiyuv of the bailim. It's just that also the Kohen participates. It doesn't sound that way from the Gemara. It sounds from the Gemara that they're pretty much equal and they're both requirements, and that's why we have to do them together. Tosfos writes that when we say the bailim, the Kohen puts his hands under the bailim, it doesn't mean that he holds the bailim's hands. It means that the bailim holds it a little higher up on the kli, and the
Kohen holds the lower part of the Kli, but they're both holding the Kli directly. That's what it means, Tachas Yedei Abaylim, lower down on the Kli from the Yedei Abaylim. And the third possibility is quoted by Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Vav and Beis, that it's Gzeiras HaKasav, that that's the way it's supposed to be done. It's supposed to be done by the Baylim and the Kohen. So whenever that's Gzeiras HaKasav, you're not going to say that it's a Chatzitza, because that's the way, that's the Tzura of a proper Tanufa. So you can't call that a Chatzitza. Those are the three basic approaches that the Rishonim have. Says you want to tell me Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the only one that thinks that Bikurim requires Tanufa? Rabbi Yehuda also holds Bikurim requires Tanufa. Why are you lacking only Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that he must be the only one? Titania, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Vinachto Zu Tanufa. Pasuk says, Vinachto Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. He learns that that's talking about Tanufa. You know, the beginning of the parsha says, V'lakach Kohen Atadim Yadecha, V'inichu Lefnei Hashem. So why does it have to say V'inachto again? It must be, says Rashi, Masech HaSukkah, Shechozer V'notlo, that he takes it again. So it must be that there was a Hanacha, a second Hanacha. So why would there be a second Hanacha, a second taking? It must be for the sake of Tanufa. That's how Rabbi Yehuda learns. So Atom Rezut Tanufa V'enu El Hanacha. Oh, wait, is it Tanufa? Well, Gemara is going to spell it out. Is it Tanufa or only Hanacha? Kshu Omer, when it says v'inicho in the first part of the pasuk, we already said anacha. Must be that in addition to the regular anacha, there's also a requirement of tenufa. So why are you saying only Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Rabbi Yehuda also holds. Some Rava hold pasuk of tchila. Yes, Rabbi Yehuda also holds he required tenufa, but from a later word in the pasuk. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's drasha comes from v'lakach hakoyin atena miyadecha, which is earlier in the pasuk, from the word miyadecha. So that's why we go with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because his drasha comes first. So it's just the first one that came to mind. But ein achinami, it could be l'shitas Rabbi Yehuda as well. Or another possibility why we dafka go with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rav Nachum Yitzchak Omer, hol v'rav guvrei, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was a greater chacham. He was the one that we more frequently paskin like. The Gemara Maseches Erevin says, Rashi quotes that Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is kav v'naki, and that's why we always paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What does it mean that it's kav v'naki? So it means that he was even though it was measured, kav is a measurement, he didn't speak that much. He only spoke in a few places, but each time he did, it was naki, it was pure, it was perfect. That's why he didn't speak that often, because he made sure that before he spoke that everything he said was just so, was exactly the way it was meant to be. So that's why we dafka choose Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov to attribute this halacha of Bikurim requiring tenufa. Then the Mishnah went on to say that Emurei Shalmei Tzibur, Shalmei Yachid rather, V'chaz V'shok Shalahen, Echad HaAnashim, V'Echad HaAnashim B'Yisrael, Avalo B'Acherim. Yes, men, yes, women, but only B'Yisrael, not B'Acherim. My Ka'amar, what does that mean? First you say that it's both men and women require Tanufa, and then you say, not a carbon of Acherim, which implies that women do not require Tanufa. Some of you do Ka'amar, Echad HaAnashim, V'Echad HaAnashim, Karbon Ta'un Tanufa, U'Tanufa Atzma B'Yisrael, Avalo B'Denashim. That yes, their carbonals both require Tanufa, but the tenufa is done only by men, it's not done by women. Tanu Rabban, we have a brayso along these lines. B'nei Yisrael menifin, vein of the chav menifin, that we make a drasha. Pasuk says, B'nei Yisrael by tenufa, so we darshan that yes, B'nei Yisrael do tenufa, but of the chavim do not do the tenufa. B'nei Yisrael menifin, vein hanasha menifos, and we similarly make a drasha that women do not do the tenufa. There's a question why there's a requirement for any such drasha. Shouldn't women automatically not do tenufa because karbanos are only done by yom v'lo b'layla, and that would therefore make it a mitzvah say shazman grama. So the achronim point out, Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin points out, since there are karbanos of nashim that definitely do require tenufa, the Mishnah Kiddushin says sota nezira, they are manifos. So there's a havamina that by other karbanos they should also do tenufa. So that's why I need a miyut that women don't do tenufa. That even though the karbanos require tenufa, b'nei Yisrael, b'na p'nos Yisrael, because there are certain karbanos where they do have a requirement. I might have thought that in general tenufa is a big exception to mitzvei shazman grama. After all, even though we say women are pata for mitzvei shazman grama, there are only like six that they're actually pata. pater from. There are more exceptions than there are the rule of mitzvos saseishas magrama that women are pater from. We're always saying, oh, afino yibos hanei, so kol sheyeshem b'schiri yeshem b'shmira, kol sheyeshem b'al tochchom yeshem b'kumachol matzah, all sorts of reasons why women are chayiv in all sorts of mitzvos magrama. I might have thought that tenufa is one of those exceptions. That's why I need the drush of b'nei Yisrael and not b'nos Yisrael. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, matzinu shechalak hakasu b'in karban Yisrael, the karban of the chavim, the karban nashim v'smicha. We find that legabi smicha, that a karban of Yisrael requires smicha, a karban of nashim and a karban of the chavim does not require smicha. So yachal nachlok b'tenufa. I would say by tenufa also we should say that a karban of a guy and a karban of an isha does not require tenufa. So lo mali chalak b'smicha shasmicha b'baylim nachlok b'tenufa shatenufa b'kohanim. Now there's a fundamental difference. Smicha is actually done by the baylim, so that's why a karban of a guy and a karban of an isha does not require smicha and doesn't get any smicha whatsoever. But tenufa is not done by the baylim only; it's done by the kohen. So it could be that even though they can't do the tenufa, but their korban requires tenufa, and the kohen just does it as their shliach. In ke matam lomar b'nei Yisrael, once we say that we're not excluding a korban nashim and a korban of novik chavim from tenufa, what do we learn from b'nei Yisrael? Exactly what we said before: b'nei Yisrael menifin ve'nov tekhav menifin. B'nei Yisrael menifin ve'na nashim menifos. That it's true that the korban of a guy and the korban of an isha requires tenufa, but they don't get to do the tenufa. That is again all the shitas Rashi, that Rashi assumes that the carbon of an isha and the carbon of a guy are in the same category as far as tenufa is concerned. But as I mentioned before, Tosus quotes another possibility that the discussion is to be mechalik between a carbon of an isha and a carbon of a guy, and the maskana, the carbon of an isha requires tenufa li de kohen. Carbon of a guy doesn't require tenufa at all. That's how the other day in Tosos has it. Now, an interesting drasha, that whenever we say the word b'nei Yisrael, it means b'nei Yisrael and not nashim. We're always excluding nashim from b'nei Yisrael. You know, the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Hilchas Tzitzis and Siman Yudalid that if a guy makes tzitzis, then it's pasul, because the pasuk says daber al b'nei Yisrael. So we darshan to be ma'id goyim. But it says Shulchan Aruch avli isha k'shera, an isha is allowed to make tzitzis. The Ramah writes that yesh machmirim, that men should make the tzitzis, and that it's tov lasos ken lechadchila. Really, that's the better thing to do, that men should make tzitzis. But ask the Magen Avraham, how could the Shulchan Aruch say that tzitzis al yidei isha is kosher? Whenever we say b'nei Yisrael, we're mema'id goyim and nashim. Why would we be mema'id goyim from b'nei Yisrael by tzitzis and not nashim? Yet when it comes to tenufa, we're mema'id both goyim and nashim from the words b'nei Yisrael. And that goes, Maimonides, he quotes from Rav Mutenberg that says that, yeah, in a chinami, that's why women should not make tzitzis. That's the shita of the Rava. Good, but how do you explain the shita of the Shulchan Aruch? Rabbi Kiveger is in his comments on the Magen Avraham, writes that B'kala Torah Kula B'nei Yisrael is generally not Mema'it B'nos Yisrael, because Hishra Kasav Yishal Ish called Dinei HaTorah. We always assume men and women are included in everything unless we have a special exclusion for women. I B'nei sounds like it's the Ma'it B'nos, but he says the Hekish is Motzi HaTzuv Mimashmu Usam. So the fact that we're Hekish Ishli Yishal L'kol Mitzvah Shepetorah, that can overpower the mashmaus of b'nei, and women are therefore included. What about by kohanim? We say b'nei aron, and we darshan v'lo b'nos aron. So that's because it's an extra phrase. It didn't have to say b'nei aron. So that's why we make a drasha. And what about v'limantem es b'neichem, b'neichem v'lo b'noseichem? So that's not going on the person who has the mitzvah. That's talking about who you teach to. So that b'neichem could be a miyut of b'noseichem. But whenever you're talking about who the chiyuv mitzvah is on, we always go back to the Hekish, that women are chayven all the mitzvahs that men are chayven, and that's why we need a separate limud of Maseches Kiddushin, that women don't have to teach their children Torah. But it's not from B'neichem V'lo B'noseichem directly. That's about who's being taught the Torah. What about our sugya, that women don't do Tznufa B'nei V'lo Banos? He says that's because over here it can't be that Banim is who adin Banos and say that they're Manifos as well, because it's Mitzvah Shazman Grama, and we know that women are Patzav Mitzvah. So that's why B'neichem over here has to be Kipshuto. It's a fascinating discussion whether women can make tzitzis. It's really an oversimplification what I just said. I have a piece in my first sefer in Simon Gimel about this issue. What it really boils down to is that that there are two sugyas in Shas. The Gemara Masechta Sukkos tells us that a sukkas ganvach is kosher, that if a woman makes a sukkah, it's kosher, even though a woman's not chayiv in sukkah. So apparently, even though she's not chayiv in sukkah, she's part from the mitzvah, she's able to make the cheftza shel mitzvah with which you'll do the mitzvah. Yet, on the other hand, you have a sugya Masechta Gittin and daf mem hem beis that tells us kol sheyeshna b'kshira yeshna b'ksiva, that only people who are obligated in kshira satfilin are obligated in ksiva satfilin, and therefore women are not obligated in kshira satfilin, not just not obligated, are unable to do ksiva satfilin. A woman sofer is unable to make, it can't be that she's a sofer that she can make a kashra chefta shel mitzvah. She's unable to make kashra tefillin. So what's amazing is that the Gemara never discusses tzitzis. The question is, which is it more like? Do you say it's more like sukkah, where sukkah's ganvach is kasher, she can make mechafta shal mitzvah, or is it more like the issue of tefillin? So there are three shittos in Rishonim. You know, I only mentioned two of them. Tosfos in Maseches Menachos and in Daf Mem Beis, Adam Maseches Gittin says that women can make tzitzis. I tefillin kol sheyeshem kshir yeshem ksiva. That's exeris akasus specifically for tefillin, and that's the shita of the Rosh as well. And they bring a raya. The Rishonim bring a raya from Gemara in Bava Basra. The Fayin Dalid. The Gemara says Amar lan mayis luchubade kartelisa the debitu to Rabbi Chanina Mendoza dasid the shadi tchiltoba the tzaddik leal medasi, that the wife of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza is going to make tzitzis for the tzaddikim la asalavo. But then Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natan that a woman just like a woman can't make tefillin, a woman also cannot make tzitzis. And then there's an in-between sheet, Rambam Wurttemberg. L'chadchila no, b'diavad yes. It's likely that the Rama is not quoting Shittas Rabbeinu Tam, that he's really quoting the Shittas Rambam Wurttemberg. That l'chadchila no, but b'diavad yes. Okay, so Ben Hashem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.